If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And I know it's been a little while. We didn't record from Thursday to Monday, but trying to get things going in the offseason to get everything set up the way that I want them set up for, you know, the draft and the free agency run and all that stuff. So just want to say, be patient with us. We'll get back to regular scheduled programming where we're doing, you know, four shows a week throughout the offseason. That's on the horizon. But I'm excited about today's show. I really, really am, because one major coaching change that I could not be more excited about. One, a little biased, but also experience. 49ers got better on the coaching staff, bar none. I don't think there's any way you can look at it with the hiring of new defensive back coach Jerry Gray and what he brings to the table. We're going to outline that a lot. And what does that mean for Upton Stout, who definitely rookie of the year, I would argue defensive player of the year for the 49ers. Talk a little bit about Upton Stout. Should he stay at nickel, go to safety? What's, you know, there for him? Going to talk some wide receiver talk. We've got a new video draft breakdown up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Link in the description of the video. Wide receiver first round option, David Boston. Going to talk through that. And going to poke the bear a little bit. We're going to break down Trey Lance trade, which was awful. But, you know, there's two new conclusions to that with the Dolphins releasing Bradley Chubb and releasing Tyreek Hill, both players that they were able to acquire because of that Trey Lance trade. And so, like, we have a lot more of that fleshed out now. So I kind of want to pay attention to that and just, again, the narrative folks and how they just continually get it wrong continuously. That is probably the narrative there. But we're going to get into that. Want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew that join us live and put that hashtag CC in the description or in the live feed. That helps us with recommendation. It helps YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and all those things. So just want to say thank you, guys. Appreciate all of you. This is episode 1608 of the 49ers Rush Podcast, and our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, David Gill, and Dorian Campbell. Thank you guys very, very much. And so what's up, Shane? Appreciate everybody in the chat. What's up? We got Sean. We got Ben, the man, all the hashtag CCs. You guys are great. And Devin, my man. John, what's up, brother? Just FYI, because of your help, my adopted daughter is now engaged, and I'm going to be a first-time grandpa. Devin, man, that is awesome. Foster adoptive parents unite, baby. Devin's a good friend, and all he does is help humans. And congratulations to you and your family, and I hope that she does well. It was really cool getting to meet everybody at our Minnesota trip last time and getting to hang out. So happy for you and your family. Love it, love it, love it. And yeah, Josh, we're going to get into some draft talk. But before we do, let's focus on what is concrete. The 49ers are expected to hire longtime defensive back coach Jerry Gray to come in and take over the defensive back room. I could not be happier about this. It wasn't really reported wide. You know, I haven't heard from the Schefters and all that stuff about this yet, but understand this. Jerry Gray is a freaking legend. One, I'm a Longhorn. Let's just be very, very honest. This dude was a two-time All-American at Texas, one of the hardest-hitting DBs, interception machine. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's in the Texas Hall of Fame. What he did as a player, came back and coached as well for a short stint for the University of Texas. So I am well aware of Jerry Graham, Jerry Gray, the person, the player, the coach. Huge fan of this guy. Now, let's just look at what he's gone through and what he's done. This guy, one, he was a first-round pick by the Rams. That sucks. That's the only negative, back in 1985. And, man, played with John Lynch. Actually, they played together in the same locker room. They're in the same DB room at Tampa Bay. Four Pro Bowls during his playing career, 9 years. Then he coached in the NFL for 13 years, going, you know, back and forth, coached at SMU, coached at Texas a little bit. But, man, the amount of success that he has had, his first coaching stint in the NFL is with the Oilers when they made their Super Bowl run. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they made it there. He was the defensive coordinator for the Bills for 5 seasons. He was the defensive back coach for Seattle when they had Richard Sherman, when they had Earl Thomas, when they had Cam Chancellor. He's been there for that. Then he was the defensive coordinator for the Titans for 3 more seasons. After that, was never a DC again. Kind of cemented his, you know, it was not a positive stretch. And since then, he's just been a defensive back coach all across the NFL. He was with the Vikings for 6 seasons. He was with the Packers for 3 seasons as their defensive pass game coordinator. He was assistant head coach for the Falcons for the past 3 seasons and helping with their defense, which means there's already a 2-year overlap with Raheem Morris, who is now the new defensive coordinator. So he was the assistant head coach for the Falcons the past 3 seasons, and now the 49ers get him as a DB coach. Now, we'll have to see how the titles work out. I would not be shocked if he does bring kind of that assistant head coach title over. It would not be shocked, but we'll have to see the final details and all that. But the 49ers add defensive back coach Jerry Gray, and listen to the coaches. Like, experience is something the 49ers staff has not had a lot of on the defensive side. Now, I get it with Johnny Holland. I understand that. Kocerek's been around for a little bit. Holland, obviously, one of the most experienced head coaches in the NFL. But on the defensive back side, it's been shallow experience with Bullocks. Let's just be honest. Now, he's gone. But listen to these coaches that Jerry Gray has worked with. Pete Carroll, Joe Gibbs, Matt LaFleur, Jeff Fisher. What's this? 7-9 bullshit. Mike Mularkey, Mike Munchak, Arthur Smith, Greg Williams, Mike Zimmer, Jim Zorn. Like, he has coached with coaches that understand. He has been a defensive coordinator multiple seasons. He's been a defensive coordinator more than Robert Saleh has in his career. Now, the head coach, definitely that's different. And this is not a slam against Saleh. It's just put it into perspective. Like, this guy has experience. Listen to the players he's coached. Harrison Smith, Jair Brown, his Pro Bowl season. D'Angelo Hall, his Pro Bowl season. Carlos Rogers, his Pro Bowl season. Samari Roll, his Pro Bowl season. A.J. Terrell, his Pro Bowl season. Jesse Bates, his Pro Bowl season. Troy Vincent, Nate Clements. 15 players, defensive backs, have had Pro Bowl seasons while being coached by Jerry Gray. 15. 7 first-team All-Pros. This is somebody that brings a ridiculous amount of experience that is going to help the defensive back room. And let me just say this, the last time you saw any significant defensive back development was when you had an experienced defensive backs coach, Steve Wilks. Steve Wilks, a lot of negatives, got fired. Shanahan hated his guts. I get it. Every single defensive back in the room had their best season under Steve Wilks, which was, well, shoot, what, now we're talking 3 seasons ago? Nobody's been better that was with the team then and is with the team now. That was their best season. I really do think that this is a great hire. I really do. Like, the experience, and again, I've met the dude. Like, he brings energy. He brings personality. He brings, this is a great one. I really love this. Jacob, the NFL is year round. That's a positive for me. But yeah, I do. And this is a Raheem Morris man, no doubt about it. Now, they've only been together for 2 seasons, but the past 2 seasons, and he kept him on as his assistant head coach. I think that this is huge. Like, I'm a Longhorn. I'm biased, but this dude, he's got the pelts on the wall as a player. in college, as a player in the NFL, as a coach in college, as a coach in the NFL, as a DC in the NFL, as assistant head coach in the NFL. Like, it, dude, look who I've coached. This comes, like, this is a real thing. So I'm pretty pumped about this. And you look at last year, the Falcons were tied for fifth in interceptions last year. Thank you, Ben. 49ers couldn't get sacks last year. Falcons had a plethora. 49ers couldn't get interceptions last year. Falcons had a lot. Now, the scheme, the players, all that stuff doesn't come across, but you know, you're not bringing all that. It's different. I do not expect the 49ers to be fifth in interceptions. I do not expect the 49ers to be top five in sacks, but I do not see them staying anywhere close to where they were last year. This is huge. The addition of Raheem Morris, the addition of Jerry Graham, the defensive back room, which has been the weakness. I know everybody talks about kind of, you know, the lack of pass rush. The lack of pass rush had a lot to do with injuries. The defensive backs, their poor play did not have a lot to do with injuries. Most of those guys were relatively healthy. You had the guys that you wanted out there. The coaching matters. Coaching matters. And it's not a slam on Bullocks. It's really, really not. I like him a lot. I enjoy watching him out there on the practice field. I'm just saying, man. What's up, Noam? Appreciate you, brother. Glad to see you in here. It's an X and O edition, 100%. Yeah. And again, I am biased. I always want to put that out there because you have to calculate that into what's being said. I'm a Longhorn. Dude, I wasn't around when Jerry Gray played for Texas, but I have watched a lot of YouTube videos and gone back through those seasons and whatever else. I'm a big, 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 big fan. And the only negative is he was drafted in the first round by the Rams. That's it. Outside of that, he's freaking awesome. So Big Papa sounds like he has the ability to tie the line in back together. It's huge. If the 49ers would have said this is the defensive coordinator hire, I would prefer him over Gus Bradley. I don't think that Jerry Gray is a great DC, but anyway, you do with that with what you will. The regular season is wrapped and the NBA playoffs are finally here. There's no better way to cash in on the high-flying hoops action than Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. Every bucket, every dime, every win means more when you're playing Prize Picks. So don't pass up your next shot with Prize Picks and get $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. And they have Do It Live 2026 NBA Final Sweepstakes, where you pick live squares during NBA playoffs and you could win a trip for two to the NBA Finals. To enter, you make a $5 lineup with at least one live NBA player pick. During any of the 2026 NBA playoffs, live player picks are picks made after the game is already in progress. And if you've never played Prize Picks before, you just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections. It's that easy. You get them right, you win. It's one of the easiest apps to use. So download the Prize Picks app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers. To get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, a preferred partner of the NBA. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co. It's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's TROLLCO.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Right here, are there any Falcons you could see coming over and helping us on defense? You know, the one name, and again, I'll pull this up so that I can give you a better, the number one name that kind of comes across is Arnold Ebiketie. He's that speed, light, high athletic edge rusher. He's a free agent. And if you look at just the, you know, unrestricted free agents, you might get a couple more value, you know, the late free agency spins, because the Falcons don't have a lot, especially on the defensive side, right? Like Kyle Pitts for sure, but that has nothing to do with really Raheem Morris or with Jerry Gray. If you just look at the defensive side, Arnold Ebiketie for sure. Caden Ellis, maybe. You know, he's a 30-year-old linebacker. I would love to have him at will compared to what the 49ers currently have on the roster. Leonard Floyd, you're still paying that guy. I doubt you bring him back. He's going to be 33 years old, but should have kept him over Yetur Gross-Matos. I said that then. I've been said it all year. That is all factually correct. David Onyemata, another long in the tooth guy. D. Alford, who's a 28-year-old corner. Again, you want to bring him in. Can play inside, can play outside, more predominant outside corner as a backup guy. He'd compete with Darrell Luter Jr. type guy, sure. You know, again, looking at their defensive, Kentavious Street, I don't think you bring him back. You could, but Ronnie Harrison, I'd be cool with that. D'Angelo Malone, not really. Josh Woods, not really. Khalid Kareem, not really. That's about it. And their kicker and their punter, which the 49ers might need to address, Zane Gonzalez, been with the 49ers. Bradley Pinion, drafted by the 49ers. Those are kind of all of the, you know, unrestricted free agent defensive players that could come over. And Arnold Ebiketie, that would be the one where I'd be like, are you going to keep Bryce Huff? That kind of affects that. I doubt you keep Bryce Huff and pay Ebiketie to come over. The market value on Arnold Ebiketie, slight edge rusher, 27 years old, is right at about $9 million per year. And again, if you look at just his numbers, you know, he came in, he was drafted, and we were high on him. I had a late second, early third round grade on him. He went in the second round, 38th overall, went earlier than I thought. He's got 16 sacks in his four-year rookie deal. 2.5 sacks rookie year, 6 sacks, then just 2 sacks last year. Last year wasn't his snap. His snaps decreased with the addition of James Pierce Jr. and Jaylon Walker. He kind of turned into that third rotational guy instead of being the premier speed rusher. But Arnold Ebiketie would make sense for the Niners. Again, do you keep Bryce Huff and sign Ebiketie? I doubt it. If you release Bryce Huff, who was terrible for the past 10 weeks of the season, including the playoff run, we'll see. That's something we'll talk about another day for sure. What's up, U.S. Army? Appreciate you, man. You guys are awesome. Right here, yeah. Life is good, man. And this is fun talking because I do think the 49ers improved. And so just to kind of put a bow on this Jerry Gray defensive back hire, you look at the number one defensive player for the 49ers last year and rookie, Upton Stout, who I love. And shout out to my man, David. You know, he asked me, should the 49ers move Upton Stout to free safety? He's got the speed, the size works, whatever else, or just keep him at nickel. In my opinion, the NFL and myself, like, I value nickel corner more than I do a safety position. And the 49ers don't have a true free safety because we do that over, it's kind of two safeties that could run both. Nickel corner is valued more in the NFL. Now, maybe not in Robert Saleh's defense. Robert Saleh was so tied to sub-packaging and matching personnel groups over just keeping ballers out there. Upton Stout played 18 snaps against the Seattle Seahawks in the playoffs. That's it. 18. It was like 50 plus snaps, and would it have made a difference? Maybe, but like you took the best player off the field for a majority of the snaps so that you could go three linebackers or a big nickel with Pinnick. Dumb. That's just dumb. You do not take Upton Stout, your defensive MVP, off the field for Luke Gifford or Jason Pinnick. You don't do it. You just don't do that. And he did it continuously. Now, the good news about that was you never overburdened or overloaded Upton Stout his rookie year. You allowed him just to kind of focus on, you know, his small package plays and personnel groups and whatever else. And that maybe helped him flourish a little bit better. But that was a mistake. Dude had to be out there. I fully see Jerry Gray and Raheem Morris utilizing the best player from last year, Upton Stout, and I think his snap count should go through the roof. And you're seeing teams like Seattle just staying in their nickel package. Now, the difference is Upton Stout is 5'8", you know, 180 pounds. He's small, but he don't play small. He's by far one of the better run defenders we have on the defense. So the issue is, if you keep Upton Stout out there, what do you miss? Well, you're going against three tight end sets. That's going to be an issue. But that's an issue with Pinnick or with Gifford out there, right? Like, they were awful. So, yeah, I get it from a pounds, you know, measuring up size and whatever else. That's an issue, but not, it's not a game issue. It's not a play issue. You got to play this damn kid. So I'm not changing a player that has shown he can be a Pro Bowl level player at one of the hardest to play in the NFL. There is a void of talent at nickel. I always say this, you know, right tackle is one of the least talented positions in the NFL. There's 32 starters. There's probably 10 quality players. I do think the Niners have one of those 10 in Colton McKivitz. I don't think he's a top five guy, but I think he's in that kind of 6 to 10 range. Nickel is another one where, man, if you got a good one, you can do some fun stuff. Upton Stout has the trajectory. He has the upside of being a top nickel corner in this league. Pro Bowl level, all pro type player. Like, that is in the cards. And if that's the case, that's a home run damn pick in the third round, late third round pick, right? Not there yet. Hasn't done that yet. Got to be a play in, play out guy. But I'm telling you right now, like, when you look at Upton Stout, it's just very, very fun to kind of like, man, you can kind of see what it could be. And it could be great. And these two hires, Raheem Morris, Jerry Gray, I think that's huge. So keep them at nickel. Just let the kid damn play. You got a personnel sometimes, but you do not need a big nickel when you have Upton Stout. And if you were going to do that, you shouldn't have drafted him. Really shouldn't have. And Sean right here, Stout's dangerous as a blitzer too. He is. The biggest flaw in Upton Stout all year was tackling quarterbacks. That dude, he could tackle running backs. He could tackle, you know, tight ends. He could tackle wide. He just can't tackle quarterbacks. Now, I don't think that's anything that's going to continue. But, man, you go back to that Saints game early, he just got abused by quarterbacks in the open field. So hopefully he could, you know, shift that up. But yeah, blitzing I think is huge, and just excited to see what he can do. And Howdy, I'm with you here. Excited to see the effect of coaching has on the upgrade of Siegel. He was always in position, just didn't make plays. Could tackle with the best. It might be the best tackler on the team, not mentioning Fred Warner. But last season, dude, that dude could tackle. Yeah, he got steamrolled by Kenneth Walker once. You know, not perfect. But if you can increase Siegel's play, your answer to safety might be in the room. The call is coming from inside the house because that's a 4-2 or 4-3 guy. Speed there, body there, intellect there, physicality there. Just got to start making plays in the pass game. If he can do that, you're solid. It's just not there yet. So can you improve that play? We haven't seen defensive back play improve for any player since Steve Wilks. Hopefully that changes. Now, I would like to draft a safety because even though I'm very high on Siegel and I'm very high on Malik Mustafa, neither are consistent. Now, you have three young rookie contract safeties with Jair Brown. We'll see what happens to Jair Brown. Can he return to quality play that you did see under Steve Wilks? That was promising. He's been terrible since, but I would like to draft a safety. Big time, big time, big time. Big Tone, appreciate the super chat, my friend. He says, you ever play pickup ball? Most annoying is the little scrappy guy who steals rebounds and hustles nonstop. Man, we would, you know, we were like an intramural league or whatever else. And like, you know, I was going to play football and I eventually, you know, chose to go work route, whatever else. But it was what it was. The most, like, we played in some pretty competitive full contact flag football leagues and got a couple concussions, had a good time in grad school and post-grad and whatever else. The toughest team we just could not compete with was a bunch of little soccer players. It just because they just kill you in space. And so, yeah, those scrappy little shifty whatever, and that's what Upton Stout is. And so I am with you 100% there. Now, let's dive in. Let's talk some draft stuff. I want to detail just a little bit more on my breakdown of wide receiver David Boston out of Washington, who I think currently, this is pre-combine talk, might be an option, a strong option for the 49ers in the first round, right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to MyBookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. All right, let's talk some draft, baby. We're going to be diving in pretty heavy on the draft as we get closer and combine next week and all those things. I want to talk wide receiver. Now, I understand people are going to be upset, because you don't want more first-round early picks used at the wide receiver position. The 49ers, since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have showed up, have used the second-most draft capital at the wide receiver position. But whenever you look at the roster, man, Ayuk ain't coming back. Debo's gone, should not come back. Juwan Jennings, I don't think should come back. Ricky Pearsall, you like him, and so you're penciling him in as the Z, which is awesome, but again, can't 100% depend on this guy. There's no way you could, like, you're counting on him, but you can't depend on him, if that makes sense. Like, he's a starter, and whenever he's been healthy, he looks the part, perfect pairing with Brock Purdy, great versus man, awesome. But, man, the injuries and then that horrid playoff performance, zero catches on 40-plus snaps, rough, right? You've got to have an influx of talent at the wide receiver position. Does that mean you should draft in the first round? I don't know. That's a debate that I want to get into later on down the road. Once we stack this draft class and where the value is or isn't and what's scarce later versus, you know, first, second round. But you look across kind of the NFL landscape and how everybody kind of sees the way that this stacks. Denzel Boston, wide receiver out of Washington, is the 28th common player in this draft based on a consensus of big board rankings across all the main sites, Athletic, Dane Brugler, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, whatever, you know, on and on and on and on and on. The 49ers are picking 27. And so this is all pre-combine conversation. Major need. He's a true X wide receiver, 6'4". 200 plus pounds. Now, again, this is all pre-combine. A dude might come in 6'2", 200. You never know because they inflate those numbers and whatever else. But you watch the tape of the wide receiver, Denzel Boston. And again, we've loaded this. This is already up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Go sign up. Frank Gore tier and up. Just go to our player breakdown page and you'll see it right there at the top. Game film, not highlights, game film. You want to see him run blocking? You want to see his route tree? You want to see what he's good at? And what he's good at is the red zone. He's a touchdown machine. He's a big, Big bodied player with great hands. 3% drop rate. That's great. 61% contested catch rate. Success rate. That's huge. One of the better in the draft class. Over 14 yards per catch. He's a downfield vertical stretcher. Now, I was, you know, me and Rob Lauder were texting, talking about him. Neither one of us think he will be there at 27. And with what he does at the combine, will be huge. Because if he goes out there and runs a 4.5, which is what I expect, I could see him being like a 4.54 guy, right, in the 40-yard dash. I think that's about where he's going to go in those 20s. If he runs a 4.4, the Niners aren't going to have a chance at him unless they trade up. Just not. But he is exactly what the 49ers want. You're thinking of like a Tet McMillan type that runs a complex route tree. Shout out to Washington. A lot of double moves, a lot of zone reads, a lot of, you know, finding those spots, soft spots against zone coverage. He's great at it. Natural feel, complex route tree, a lot of pre-snap motion. Can line up outside, inside, but he's 6'4", 210. He's an X, but he could play the slot and just great in the red zone. 20 touchdowns in 2 years and probably one of my favorite things about him. Now, you look at, and again, on our draft sheet, if you want to look at snap rates and analytics and all these numbers, shout out to Ben. That's up. Go to the 49ersrush.com. You'll see that there under our player breakdowns. He's got 1,500-plus college snaps. That puts him at about a five-level experience in college football with this draft class for the wide receivers. So that's okay. But my favorite, one of my favorite things about him, this dude waited his turn. And in today's college football landscape, that is rare. He sat behind Rome Odunze, Jalen McMillan, Jalen Polk for two seasons. Not one season, two seasons. Watching, learning, all three of those are NFL players doing relatively well. Jalen Polk, maybe not. But like he learned. He sat behind, took notes, waited his turn, stuck with the team, didn't transfer, didn't go chasing money, waited his turn, and it paid off. He's got 2 years of production. And academic all Big Ten, come on, man. Like, it's hard to find flaws in Denzel Boston's game. It really, really is. Will he be there at 27? That's another conversation. But one, if you told me right now the 49ers draft wide receiver Denzel Boston at 27, that is not a reach. That is not a waste of draft capital. It is a major need, which we know the 49ers are need-based drafters in the first three rounds. I understand the argument for best player available. I get it. I love it. That doesn't make sense to Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Not until after the third round. They just do not believe. They need-based draft early. And they usually focus on primary positions, which wide receiver is, defensive end is, quarterback is, right? So take that for what you will. And right here, howdy. If Boston hits a sub 4.5, he will be gone in the top 20. Yes, agreed. 100%. Now, Dane Brugler had six wide receivers ranked with first round grades. Like, wide receiver's going to go. Every team uses them, every team needs them. X wide receivers, this is an X wide receiver heavy draft, which, man, you start looking right here. Shout out to Jordan. Appreciate the super chat. I like doubling up with Surratt and Hurst. Again, both of these, you know, Elijah Surratt out of Indiana, 6'2", 213. He's projected, he's a 62nd overall consensus ranked player. So you're talking, get him at the end of the second or third round, trade up in the third around that area. And then you look at Ted Hurst, you know, out of Georgia State, he's the 130th ranked player on the big board. So that's a day three pick. So again, we'll get into, once we stack our board, which my goal is to get 200-plus players ranked. I don't rank a player until I do tape. I never rank a player until I have watched game tape, not highlight tape. Again, I think this is the first time I want to say it this draft season. Oh, here we go. Everybody get ready to do your drink. I'm going to get mine ready. Highlights are like reading somebody's dating profile that they wrote on themselves. You only get the positives. Watching coaches tape, the all 22, is like interviewing their exes. You learn the good, the bad, the ugly, the consistency, the lack thereof, the attitude. Silent tape tells you a lot about players, that all 22. And Denzel Boston, go watch it. He is a run blocker that cares about run blocking. And you see it. There's one play where he pancakes a corner and huge run. And he starts dancing and slapping his head, freaking Dre Greenlaw style, like 25 yards away from the play because he's so psyched. Mind you, he scored 2 touchdowns in this game against Washington State. But he starts freaking going crazy and hitting himself in the head over a pancake block on a corner? You mean to tell me that don't fit the 49ers freaking attitude? I love it. And then likewise, he missed a block in the open field. And then, you know, that guy made a positive play on the ball carrier. And you see, like, he is furious with himself. So, like, silent tape, no sound. After the play, and you know, it tracks usually for a count or two, and you can see it matters to this guy. You know, Washington's offense, they had a running quarterback. It was RPO style, whatever, with a complex route tree. It just tells you who this kid is. So the questions start to become, Jordan, and I like this. Do you invest first round or do you invest second and fourth round? Like if you're getting Surratt and Hurst, that's a second, fourth round type picks. Or would you rather use the number 27 overall? Well, for me, I can't answer that question yet until I stack this board and see what positions are missing and what that is. But we're going to keep doing that. Logan, talking wide receivers. Okay, he's talking KC Conception out of A&M. Now, I'm a Longhorn. I hate A&M. One of the highest graded players I've ever had in the history of grading, which we've done 10 years now, was Creed Humphrey, who was an OU player. I hate OU too. Like, I try not to scout the helmets. I really, really try. I'm sure it enters in. I do like KC Conception. I do. Now, here's your comment, Logan. Can someone help me understand the love KC Conception gets? I know he's fast, but his hands aren't the best, and I don't think blocking is good enough for the Niners team where wide receivers have to block. The A&M offense is about as frustrating to watch as possible. The quarterback is a quality corner quarterback, one of the highest paid in college, which is a weird phrase, not an accurate passer at all. He is a freak athlete that just so many bad passes. It's really hard to grade KC Conception. Doesn't run a full route tree. Almost all of his yardage is off of screens, bubbles, slants, hitches, RPO kind of bubbles. It's weird. It's going to be a learning curve. I do not like KC very much because I think that he is a perfect Z wide receiver. The 49ers have one wide receiver somewhat solidified, and that is the Z position. Ricky Pearsall was drafted to take the place of Deebo Samuel. And I know every single year somebody says, this year's wide receiver, Deebo, is fill in the blank. KC is going to get that. Like, that's what he is. He's dangerous with the ball in his hands, punt returner type, you know, stud, built like a running back. He's great. I will not probably have a first-round grade on KC. I probably won't. One, the experience factor. Let me pull this up on our draft sheet. He's played a lot of snaps over 3 seasons, but man, 61 catches, just like Denzel Boston. Denzel Boston had 62 catches, but they're different. One of them's down the field. He is like Denzel Boston works midfield to deep. KC works all behind the line of scrimmage or super shallow. Now he can run, he can do more, but you ain't seen it. So that's a projection. So now you're projecting. Can he run NFL routes? That question has been answered for Denzel. I like less questions. I want more solidarity, right, in the evaluation. You don't have to worry about run blocking with Denzel. You don't have to worry about hands. You don't have to worry about routes. You don't have to worry about can he handle the playbook. Like, you don't have to worry about those things. With KC, you do. He did not run an NFL offense. There is no passing tree. He has the least expansive passing tree put on tape so far. That's not his fault. But when you play at A&M in that situation with that quarterback, that's what you get. And so I am – and KC is one of those players that might be the best wide receiver in this draft class. Like, he's that talented. But there is a wide – like, this dude could be Jordan Leggett. You know what I mean? Like, he could be that. Might be Debo. So far, there's only been one Debo, and that's Debo. And you drafted him the second, and you paid him to play for another team. That's kind of where that is. So, Marie, appreciate you. I would much rather prefer Denzel Boston because he fits what the Niners need. You already have your Z in Ricky Pearsall. You do not have an X. Jordan Watkins, who knows? Shanahan wouldn't let him play no matter how healthy he was. He couldn't pass the people ahead of him. And again, my biggest issue with Jordan Watkins last year was that route tree that you ran, that offense that you ran at Ole Miss is very similar to the old A&M stuff. You got to learn calculus. You've only done geometry. You look at Denzel Boston, he already knows calculus. Yeah, it's going to be an adjustment. It is going to be difficult, but he has played in a similar scheme, and you see a lot of Niners plays when you watch that Washington thing. I think that's huge. The Notorious GAV says, why is the 40 speed so special for people drafting wide receivers when we all know lateral speed is more important? There are a few positions where 40-yard dash matters, okay? Now, the problem with you go talk about like Henry Ruggs or, you know, all these burners and whatever else at the wide receiver position and the fastest guy never really panning out. Are you a track guy or a football guy? How do you win? Denzel is a football guy. His biggest weakness, which he's an X, he's great down the field, 14 plus yards per catch. That's awesome. He doesn't stack corners. That's a negative. What does that mean? If I'm running vertical, I have to pass the corner, get behind him, and then put him behind me. Does that make sense? That gives the wide or the quarterback a large window to throw the ball to. And again, a wide receiver that you have no business, the 49ers have no chance to get, Carnell Tate. You watch Carnell Tate, which I did because I like to stack my positions vertically. His number one trait is stacking corners vertically. Like Carnell Tate's him. Like that dude is a freaking baller. You don't get that with Denzel Boston, but he's 6'4". So he is open and can do the contested catch thing, but he stretches the field vertically in a different way. Carnell Tate stacks the field vertically by putting the corner in the rearview mirror. That's not what Denzel Boston does. This is why the 40-yard dash is probably so important. You know, you watch Denzel Boston. He's a strider, not super quick, 6'4", 210. Like those guys usually aren't super quick. But if he does hit that 4-4 status, more teams, which are trait-based drafters, 49ers are not, they're a threshold draft team, which means we want our X wide receiver to have these numbers, which is why Juwan Jennings fell to the seventh round, because every trait-based team was like, dude, we can't draft a 4-8 wide receiver. We're not going to do that. Niners said, well, we'll take him in the seventh round, and it worked out. But for like teams like the Colts and the Giants and so many other teams, trait-based teams, that vaults their status. If you're 6'4 and run a 4'4, you're now in the 99th percentile of wide receivers in the NFL. 6'4 wide receivers running 4'5, okay. Those things exist. And so now you're not as rare. Therefore, teams will wait a little bit longer. I would argue that 40-yard dash matters most for cornerbacks. Wide receivers, man, and safeties. Those three positions, I pay a lot more attention to the 40-yard dash than a lot of other positions. So, yeah, lateral quickness is huge. Denzel Boston ain't going to win that. He ain't going to be winning three cones. He ain't going to be winning short shuttles. He ain't going to be winning the 10-yard burst. That's not what he does. He is a strider. With decent speed. It's not bad speed. He does his work before the catch, though. Not a huge yak guy either. Sid, I love interviewing X's. This is awesome. I do like Surratt. I have not watched enough tape on him to give my full whatever, so we're going to hold off on that one. I see this. That's a positive. That's not a negative. His stock just went up in my book. So, yeah. I don't want to dive into that. It's what it is. Howdy. Boston is tough. He's definitely fits the skill set Kyle loves, would immediately approve. Yeah, not the biggest yak guy, but he can do it. And I do think Brock Purdy would love Boston. way faster than Juwan Jennings in that same kind of build attitude. I'm not sure anybody has that same attitude Juwan Jennings has, though, but he would be huge. And figuratively and literally, right? That's kind of where that is. Man, I got behind on the chat. So hopefully that kind of helps. And right here, Howdy, you know, this could be Watkins' year to step up 100%. But you cannot move forward with the idea of Jordan Watkins being your starting X wide receiver when you wouldn't even let him play. You wouldn't let him play. So, yes, if you get something out of him, he's a day three pick. Great. He's been in the building for a year. Great. But you do not move forward with the idea that he is a starter. The only wide receiver on the team that you can say this is a starter for us moving forward is Ricky Pearsall. You want to throw in DeMarcus Robinson? Cool. Like, he can make do at slot, that number three. He can make do at X. He can make do. But again, you don't want him being your projected starter week one. Maybe wide receiver three, that slot role, that big slot role. But that's kind of it. And so anyway, kind of take that for what you will. Now let's poke the bear. Let's get weird. Let's talk some Trey Lance trade and kind of what the results of that were now that we have a lot more of the data and a lot of those players and contracts have finalized for what Trey Lance was traded away for right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. You know, I like this comment, and again, I want to add a little nuance to the wide receiver position. The 49ers have the worst wide receiver group in the NFL heading into the season, but it's not completed. Still have free agency, still have the draft. They're going to have to add so much. Chosen asks, could we add somebody like Tyler Lockett? He's a good veteran that wouldn't break our bank account. We know Jed is saving lately. Yeah, like, that is a man. Our plan didn't work out in free agency or the draft. We hoped somebody would fall to us or whatever. You do that after the draft. That is a week after the draft addition that you would make if for some reason everything else just didn't go the way you wanted to. So is Tyler Lockett a scheme fit? No. Could he help an NFL team? Sure. But he's not somebody that you even signed during free agency, the first, second, third wave. And then once the draft happens and you look at your wide receiver room and you're just like, damn, or you have an injury and you're just like, damn, we've missed our chances. That's when you add somebody like a Tyler Lockett. And I think the NFL will kind of treat it that way with kind of where that is. Silent right here. How far will the med drop Chris Bell? Round two, round three. Chris Bell is currently number 41 overall. And I say this all the time, we grade off of tape and publicly known information, and we build our big board accordingly, and we have misses, just as every single NFL team does. Things we do not have access to. Character, medical, we don't. You have to go off of what's given. So usually with these types of players, like a Chris Bell, what happens is, some teams drop completely off the board. Here we go. Sorry. Some teams will drop that player completely off the board. Red flag, we're not drafting them. Some teams will dock them 2 to 3 rounds and say, well, then the value is here. And other teams will test them with their doctor at the combine or on checks. They do all the whatever. And then they say, you know what? I don't think we have a problem with it. But we'll take them. And so that's three separate answers, and every team's different. I'm not going to get those medical results. I'm not going to get a check that. So we're going to be in the dark. So whenever it comes to character or whenever it comes to medical, we are in the dark. And, you know, when we build out our big board, we flag like, okay, this is a red flag medical. I don't know what to do with that. Let's see here. But so yeah, I just really don't know. I just really don't know. And so like, yeah, Logan says, you know, that's the Debo Light guy. Bill will be in the fourth. What's up, Cowachipto? So good to see you guys. What's up, man? Glad you're here. But yeah, so really don't really know. So again, 6'2", 220, big X wide receiver. That's kind of what he did. He was at Louisville. Here's his medical kind of history. Torn ACL. That's not the biggest deal anymore, but it happened in November of 2025. November. So you do 9 months from there. August is kind of the projected date there. That's training camp. So he's going to miss all of rookie stuff, all OTAs, all workouts, majority of training camp, get cleared late. This is somebody that's going to start off on the NFI. It's just what it's going to be. But what's that going to look like? Do you drop them that much? ACLs aren't what they used to be, but they're still a big deal. So, yeah, again, we're talking Chris Bell, how far he drafts. We'll see. John, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. He says, I know you're a Longhorn fan. Is Michael Taft, Texas safety at 49ers fit? Not really. I love him. Leadership 100, former walk-on to captain, incredible. Tackling, great. He's kind of maxed out his potential and one of those guys that thrives in the college situation, right? Like that's kind of what he is. He's projected, you know, a 132 type guy. I think he's going to go later than that. His speed and combine and all that stuff will be huge. But, you know, if he runs a 4.6 or whatever, I think that drops him 6th, 7th round. 49ers need speed on that back end. They really, really do. I love Michael Taft. And you find a way to fit this guy in. Special teams, eventually maybe he could take over at one of those spots. Niners don't value safety very much. I like him. I would not be upset if we drafted him, but I want speed. I want 4.4 speed, 4.3 speed at that safety spot. So I like Michael Taft. He's going to help your locker room and special teams. Not quite sure that's what the 49ers need with what they already have in-house. That's just me. All right, let's talk Trey Lance. Why not? Because life isn't hard enough. And you got to remember, the Trey Lance trade didn't work out, obviously. It was horrible. You wasted so many resources, didn't work out. You took a home run swing, and you struck out. But a lot of people were saying, man, Kyle Shanahan's putting his job on the line, and man, if this doesn't work out, he's going to be fired, blah, 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 blah. The Dolphins, they did the smart thing. They got their three first-rounders, and they turned those three first-rounders into Jalen Waddle. That was the best pick. Tyreek Hill, they traded for. Bradley Chubb, they traded for. And Channing Tindall. Well, now, just this morning, the Dolphins are cutting both Bradley Chubb and Tyreek Hill, which means only Jalen Waddle is still on the team, which still Trey Lance is gone, whatever else. But now you have a little bit more finality to that trade and how that worked out. The 49ers lost this trade. This is no effort to say, you know, whatever. But you remember everybody's like, man, we should have kept McDaniel over Shanahan. He was the guy. And man, all this stuff, whatever else. Look at what the Dolphins have done since that Trey Lance trade. Yeah, they got Wadden, they got Hill, they got Chubb, they got Tindall. Now Jalen Waddle's the only one still left on the team. Zero playoff wins, zero division titles since then. Every single coach, every single front office person has been fired. Look at the 49ers. Two division titles since that trade, seven playoff wins since that trade. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have been extended even more so. The idea that these narratives and whatever else, that just applies to podcasters and people trying to get you to watch their videos. Hopefully I don't fall into that category completely, but again, it was a miss. I do like that they swung for the fences and the chance that they felt like, man, we always pick at the back. You go get this guy. Didn't work out. But the idea that, shoot, man, you were going to put your job on the line, whatever else, that's just stupid. That's not how NFL owners and GMs and the world works. That's how people that talk for a living work. The narratives just are not there. Again, zero playoff wins, zero titles, everybody fired, and they hit a home run that trade. They did great. 49ers missed. It's much more complex than just first-round picks hitting on those, and everything is fine. Take that for what you will. Dale, John put it on those waiters. I am. It's what it is. Joel says, no more choir boys with minimal skills. I think the 49ers love choir boys. They like attitude, but they do no more Ayuks, no more Reuben Fosters. They're not going after those guys, especially early. Day three, cool. You go to war with crazy people. I love it. Fire sale in Miami. I love it. The Miami track team is diminishing. Yeah, I'm with you there. And so we'll have to see what that going. They were picking 11. It was idiotic trade to not have a target. Agreed. And the funny thing is, no matter who you took, even if it was the number two quarterback taking 3, 4, it was all wrong. That trade wouldn't have been worth it if you got Trevor Lawrence either. That quarterback draft class was terrible. Everybody was wrong, and they were wrong. And so doing that trade on a COVID year when you had even less information made it even worse. But for the people that are always talk about Shanahan's so stubborn, he never changes. That's total BS. Shanahan and Lynch no longer draft inexperienced players like Trey Lance, who only had so many starts, right? They love experience. And, you know, when we do our draft research, I grade every single position 1 through 10, every single player 1 through 10 on experience, every single one of them. And so, like, we count their entire snaps, and we rate that 1 through 10. Denzel Boston's a 5 with an asterisk because he spent 2 years learning behind 3 NFL players. So his total snaps put him at as a 5, but he's going to tick that box. It's there. Stefan, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Would you trade Mac in a second for Jefferson? Justin Jefferson, yes. I'd trade Mac in a first-round pick for Jefferson. No way in hell the Vikings do that. Yes, I would in a heartbeat. That would make sense for Mac. It would make sense for the 49ers. It does not make sense for I don't think that Mac Jones, a first-rounder and a second-rounder is enough to get Justin Jefferson. That dude fuels their freaking economy. Like, he is the number one player in that freaking city across multiple sports. They ain't doing it. Big Tone, were they trying for Watson, then pivoted, or no? The Watson one's weird. I think they were interested, but then you had all those allegations, and the Niners just, again, after Reuben Foster, stayed the hell away. But, yeah, we'll know 30 years down the road, probably, with where that is. Lyle, appreciate Super Chat. John, in your opinion, how many free agents will the 49ers go after? This is the one where I'm like, man, you look at the 2024 younger, cheaper offseason, they did not sign one starter offense or defense. Not one. All backup players. They saved pennies, 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 and that was the $100 million dead cap. You're not in that situation anymore. If you can get 2 to 3 offensive or defensive starters in free agency, I would be stoked. If you told me 2, not guaranteed, but you're paying 2 starter level free agent players to come in, I think that would be huge. With the 9 first round pick or with the 9 draft picks, I think that's adequate. What you're returning from injury, I think that's good. Give me 2 solidified starters in free agency. Have another decent draft. Last year was a decent draft. We'll have to see how it pans out. Not completely graded yet. But yeah, I want to pay. I don't want to go crazy with Javon Hargrave and pay top of the market money for any position. The only position I would possibly pay top of the market money for would be Alex Pierce, who I don't think is going to be available because you need that X. Center Tyler Linderbaum. I think he's one of the best players in the NFL. Or linebacker or safety, because those are cheaper spots. That's it. Outside of that, give me 2 starters and then some depth pieces. I'd be okay with that. Anything less than that, I'm going to be very critical because you have the money. You have that available. Come on, man. No big contracts that you have to redo this year. Sin, appreciate the super chat. You are awesome. John, I'm here because my time is valuable and your information is well worth my time. Man, that's so kind. I have no time for clickbait or rehashed headlines. thank you. And I get the messages and emails and, you know, people getting upset because I don't record often enough. I love you guys. I'm trying to get back into my full off season whenever I can do the work that needs to be done. And it is dive into draft time. And again, go sign up at the49ersrush.com or Patreon, links in the description of this video. See what we're doing because we're working our tail end off. So in the off season, I have to do a lot of more work behind the scenes, not live, to give quality draft takes. I mean, I spent 4 hours this morning. I got up pretty early on Denzel Boston. Like, I don't spend that much time on all players, but I want to make sure whenever I say something, I mean it. And it's not, you know, I'm not taking what other people say. This is what I see from my coaching background, from, you know, doing this for so long and that idea. So, Sen, it means the world to me. And, you know, I see you as a friend and, you know, thank you for all your support. And, you know, I can't do this job year round full time without you guys. And y'all mean the world to me. And I'm so thankful. It's not lost on me that I get to wake up Monday and watch draft tape and talk to you guys about football. I won. And I won because of you guys. And I hope I never take that lightly. It means the world to me. It's funny. My wife and I were talking yesterday and like long-term plans and whatever else. And I was like, man, I'd be so happy if I could stay right where I am. No more subscribers. No more. Like, I don't need another penny. I just want to stay here. I'm right where I want to be. And thank you, all of you. Super chaps, the hashtag CCs, Patreon supporters. That allows me to do this, and it's all because of you, and I'm so thankful. Thank you, guys. John, super chat, you're the freaking man. With experience in mind, Mesidor, you must be high on Mesidor. I do worry about much of his success, maybe due to the attention Bain got. I mean, he's awesome, and again, I haven't dived into the edge class yet. That's my next position. So I'm going through all of the first round targets at the wide receiver position. Then I'm going to go through the first round targets at the offensive tackle position. Then I'm going to go through the first round targets of the edge position. Then first round targets of the defensive tackle position. That's my order, right? So I'm trying to stack my board vertically through possible first round players at the wide receiver, OT, edge, DT. Now, I know who Akeem Mesidor is just because Miami played so many games. And yeah, he's awesome. Now, he's old. Isn't necessarily a negative thing. He's 25 years old. You talk about experience and know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get with this dude. 6'3", 265. Not one of the fastest guys. But he's played 2,200 plus defensive snaps, which is the second most snaps for any edge player that is going to be drafted. He's a 10 experience. He's 25. Dude's played a lot, and he plays everywhere. He plays over the nose tackle. He plays three technique. He's got 1,100 snaps at the edge spot and 300 snaps in the A-gap. Like, Niners love that. He is freaking awesome. Now, he's kind of your upgraded Sam O type player. This short, stout, positive player that can kind of do everything. Where do you value that at? I think his ceiling is relatively low, however. We'll have to see how he performs. I don't think he's going to be a great tester. I think he's a better football player than an athlete in the experience and tape, and he's improved. So kind of do with that what you will, but he is awesome. Right here, Bryce Lance to the Niners. I think a lot of people would be upset at that. But Bryce Lance, this is Trey Lance's little brother, North Dakota State. Currently, the overall rated player, 195 based on consensus, 6'3", 209. He's a true X. How his speed checks out is going to be big. His tape looks slow, but he is a big-time type player, 2 years experience, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's a fun player. Yeah, North Dakota State, he's solid. And so if you bail early on free agency, don't get you a true X. Draft first, second, third round, don't get you a true X. Bryce Lance is a guy that you could pair with Jordan Watkins and say, man, we got these two young guys that can play the X. You got your small burner and Jordan Watkins. You got your big Strider and Bryce Lance. Let's see what happens. And he's all right. But again, right now you're talking about somebody going around like pick, you know, 195. You're talking like fifth, sixth round, which the Niners pick 171, 196. Yeah, that's fine. I don't even mind doubling up and getting two X's in the draft or sign an X and draft an X. Like, you need to kind of hit that. So we'll see what that is. This has been fun. I hope that you guys had a good time. And yeah, right here, Dale says, yeah, I'm talking deep. That's where it is. So we'll see. And we got a lot more time, and hopefully we continue to build this out and have educated, well-informed conversations on players that fit and don't fit and kind of go with that and allow the film to dictate our opinions, not what so-and-so said or what so-and-so or this highlight reel. Allow the film to dictate. That's what we want to offer and we want to instill, because again, we don't know the character. We don't get to talk to these players. We don't know the medical. So let's go off of what we have and let's look at that. John, last super chat here before we bounce. If Chris Bell makes it to the 49ers in round two, do you take him? If you do not go, wide receiver in the first round, then yes. Chris Bell is currently the 41st player ranked. The 49ers pick 58. The ACL, got to see what that looks like. I mean, you could start to Marcus Robinson at X until Chris Bell's ready to step in, but if you draft him in the second, you're expecting him to play. Kyle Shanahan plays first and second round picked wide receivers. He doesn't play anything third and later. He does not. Not their rookie year. First and second round wide receivers, he has. The ACL, we're not going to know. So I have to give an asterisk here. The value is there. The play, it's there. We'll see what that looks like. You guys are incredible. And again, just want to say thank you for all the support. Excited about this. And excited about the offseason. 49ers, dude, that Cherry Gray hire, oh, that should make you guys feel great. The 49ers have experience on the defensive side of the coaching staff, and I think that's huge. Till next time, stay strong, Niners.